I'm Dr. Kimberly Manning.
And this is Dr. Ashley McMullen. And you're listening to the Human Doctor Podcast, where we explore the human side of medicine, along with teaching, living, learning, and all things in between. Using the power of storytelling, conversation, and connectedness.
Hey, we're two dope academic internal medicine doctors, but we ain't your doctors. So if you perceive anything we say here as medical advice, no, it ain't that. Also, the things we say, they only reflect our brilliant Black woman magic mind and not our employers.
You could have been anywhere, y'all, but you chose to be here with us, and we appreciate you. Let's go. How are you doing? Fresh off what looked like a lovely vacation. I was behind the scenes looking at all your pictures on the social medias.
I know, right? On not on my Twitter, on my Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Because my son was like, that's why I never see anything you do, because it's on the Facebook.
Yes. I still have my account for, my...
Your 53-year-old girlfriend. Go on and say it. Go on and say it with your chest. I saw where you were going, and that's fine. But I do like, I like how my Facebook account, the people who interact with me on Facebook, I know them IRL,
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Twitter, they're people that I know in real life, but there's also people that I don't know at all. So what I'm willing to, share their image-wise is very different. And the reason why I have not jumped into IG, because I don't know how to not cross-pollinate both of those things.
Mm-hmm. That's real.
So I just have my little Finsta where I am a voyeur and can see what people are doing. But
I respect that. I've always respected how you approach social media. I think that you are a great role model in that regard.
Oh, wow. I appreciate it. Keep going. Just keep saying nice things to me.
I got more, but
Ooh, well, I have something nice to say, and mm-hmm. it is about an experience that I just had this morning. Dr. Kirsten Kennedy.
Yes.
Yes. She is not only a hospitalist, but also the chief medical officer at the University of Alabama at Birmingham, UAB.
Man.
Fun fact about Kirsten, and she actually texted me this today. She said, always stop and say hi to a woman when she's walking down the street. She specifically said a Black woman because she was talking to another Black woman. That point is because I was at the same beach where I just left. Mm-hmm. And I was walking from the pool, and that place is quite homogenous.
Mm-hmm.
And on this one porch, there happened to be a couple of Black women there. And we made eye contact, and I just walked over there and started talking to them. And it turned out she was a hospitalist and that she followed me on Twitter. And we just started talking to each other. It turned out she's my sorority sister. She's a Delta girl. We exchanged numbers. And the next day we went on a bike ride and went and had coffee and just chopped it up and talked. From there, we have stayed connected. And on her, of her own merit and being the boss that she is, she got invited as a visiting professor here at Emory for hospital medicine this week, and absolutely completely annihilated this talk that she gave to the residents. And she's giving grand rounds tomorrow. She's walking through her career journey and just showing how doors open for you that you may not expect to have opened for you, but you have to be aware of who you are and what you can do. One thing she said that I want to stick a pin in, she said she was citing a study that said that women and underrepresented minorities often will not apply for positions unless they know they meet 100% of the criteria.
Mm.
And she said, if you meet 100% of the criteria for a job, you probably shouldn't apply for it. You should be doing the job above it.
Wow. I love that. I mean, I love the story of how y'all met.
That was that was serendipity, and that was being stoppable, as we're mm-hmm. talking.
Yes.
Did you learn anything this week? Experience anything?
I experienced the women's NCAA basketball final game yesterday. And man, what a game. I had so many emotions both going into it and
all of them. All of them.
Hats off to Dawn Staley. I mean, geez, what a phenomenal human being, coach, just class act. I mean, that's just that has been the dominating headline.
I was very much conflicted because, you know, I respect so much of who Dawn Staley is, what she's done as a coach. You know, the South Carolina women's basketball team is just a force. And at the same time, like what Caitlin Clark has done to bring visibility and respect to the game, like, you know, it was hard to see her finish out her season year without a championship. And at the same time, seeing how she handled it, you know, dealing with that type of pressure. And I don't know, I was just really, really happy. Like all of it, the highs, the lows, and just seeing these women do their thing. So
can we just rewind back to that LSU game? And did you see the interview with Angel Reese and Splajay's last name? I forgot.
Johnson.
Johnson. Man, listen to me. If you can find you a friend who will have your back like the way Splajay had Angel's back. And matter of fact, if you don't have that, throw the friends you have out. It was so moving and so touching. And I'm like, you know, that right there was so exemplary. There was so much, there were so many gains for women. And it looks like, it's almost like everybody had gotten together, had this big meeting and said, listen, nobody's hating on anybody. It's going to be all love no matter what. And for you know, there were people who criticized Dawn Staley for shouting out Caitlin Clark. I was like, no, she did the right thing. She was smart. That was so cool. And I mean, I actually didn't even track the men's basketball that much. I watched it some, but I was really all about the women. Miss Paige Beckers, she didn't come to play with y'all either.
Absolutely. I mean, just all of it, everything that you said. And you know, I'm so excited to see, you know, Paige get to continue another year at UConn, and they've got another kind of big freshman that they're signing. So
one time for the freshmen and the sophomores.
Yes.
Like, the freshmen, this was the year of the freshmen and the sophomore. They were stepping up like, big time and going hard. And I love that. I really love that.
Yes.
Like your girl Raven said yesterday, defense wins games. That made me think so much about, even in our hospital systems, how sometimes the shiniest and prettiest and out front thing is not necessarily what's saving the lives. Sometimes it's just that quiet, meticulous person who is just relentless on one thing, or that person who's just a dog on a bone.
Yeah.
So good.
Yes.
Day though.
Yes. Yes. Oh man. You know, as we celebrate women doing badass things, whether on the court or in the hospital or in clinic, I think that we can continue with one of the most inspirational women of a generation, with all of your grace and poise and incredible storytelling skills and just everything that you do and who you are. And get to hear your voice and your wisdom in sharing another excellent and meaningful experience with us.
So much time to think. Wow.
Yes, that was a lot. So with that being said, sis, what is the what for today?
Okay. In that intro, decided that I'm going to have you choose your own adventure, because we have not had to choose your own adventure in a while.
I have not. I don't know if I've done that this season.
We're due for it. It's almost like a daily double. A daily double.
You know, right? Now I feel pressure. It's like, man, which one do I choose?
Let me see. Okay. The first what is faith. Okay. The other what, the second what, is fierce.
Oh my God, even with the alliteration. Oh, that's hard. I feel like, you know, I feel like this touches on so much of what I've been experiencing these last couple of days. To be honest, my heart is actually moving towards fierce.
Fierce. Okay. Yes. Fierce it is. Good. All right. So, because it's about to be my first time hearing this story as well.
Great.
Don't you love when that happens?
I love it.
Okay, but I'm glad you chose that, because It is something very much in the spirit of women and sisterhood. What comes to mind when you hear the word fierce? Depends on how you say it, huh? Fierce.
I know. Well, actually, like the first image in my mind was actually Beyonce, like at any of her concerts. What's her alter ego? Sasha
Fierce. Oh, yeah. Okay. I like that. Okay. Yeah, that's good. I think of fierce as almost like not to be messed with. I almost picture, you know, the lioness protecting her cubs, mm-hmm. the mama bear. Just, yeah, this is not what you want. I'm fierce. Mm-hmm. But also in the very best circumstances, relationships between women, you can have a protector or a supporter who fiercely, fiercely protects and supports you. You know, today I would like to speak about an individual who probably, outside of my immediate family members and my lifelong best friend, there is a person in my life who, like, she is a friend that I am constantly wondering, how did I get this person as my friend? What did I do to deserve this person as my friend? And I'm serious every time I think about her. So this is a colleague and friend named Shanta Zimmer. Mm-hmm. You've met Shanta before, I think. I'm not sure if you've met her in person.
Not in person, but definitely in virtual exchanges.
Yeah. So Dr. Zimmer is actually a senior associate dean at the University of Colorado at the School of Medicine there. She is an infectious diseases doctor, an amazing human being. But I'm going to go back to, you know, how I, you know, first really got to know Shanta. Shanta did her residency training at Emory. I didn't really know her then. She did her infectious diseases training. She was an ID fellow when I got here. I didn't really know her. But I always heard good things about her and always thought well of her. Our brief interactions, they were always pleasant, nice lady, cool, but that's about it. And then we got the opportunity to apply to be small group advisors back in 2007. So both of us had been around for some time. Mm. And we were both selected to be small group advisors. You know, as small group advisors, there were only 16 of us at the beginning. And so I got to, you know, spend more time with her and be in spaces with her. And we were cool. You know, she was somebody that, like, if I'm walking toward the parking lot and you are too, I'm not going to walk fast. I'll walk with you and talk to you. and honestly, a lot of people at work fit that category, right? Like, no, mm-hmm. I'm not looking to go hang out with you. I'm sure you're not looking to go hang out with me. But, you know, I admire you. We respect each other. What you're talking about is something mm-hmm. I want to hear. And then something happened where Shanta's husband got the opportunity to take a job at the University of Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Now, if you knew Shanta, you knew that her name was like synonymous with Emory. She had been an Emory medical student. She had done a residency here. She'd been a chief resident. She had done ID here. ID is very powerful here with the CDC, so proximate in a lot of the, you know, historical work we've done with the HIV epidemic. So to hear about Shanta and her family moving to Pittsburgh, that was just like, wow. Oh, okay. I don't know why, but I felt weirdly sad about her leaving. Like, and it was kind of like we made up our minds when she was leaving that we wanted more of each other as friends and that we wanted to be friends. And mm-hmm. What does that mean? Right. This is like mm-hmm. the end of camp. Like, how is that going to work?
Yeah.
But at the time, we both had kids around the same age. I had just had Zach. She was expecting her second child. And we just kind of had some things in common. But for whatever reason, she was just always this really smart and interesting woman that I felt like was a good addition to my life. So off she goes to Pittsburgh. And we kind of stayed in touch. And, you know, there's a point in my career where she had been there a few years. And she helped me get invited for what was my very first visiting professorship. At the University of Pittsburgh, you know, just watching this person sponsoring me who like kind of knew me, but like didn't really know me that great was remarkable. And so I'm going to now just evolve through what it has been like to be, it's already going to make me cry, to be her friend. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why I'm thinking about it. So Shanta, her father transitioned recently. He'd been sick and she had been a really dutiful child to her dad. Quite frankly, everything you hope your child will be someday. Mm. And you know, when I was speaking to her right after he passed, she was like, yeah, it sucks being an only child sometimes. But I began to think through the kind of friend this woman has been to me and how she's actually the embodiment, honestly, of what you want out of sisterhoods and women relationships. So fierce, like so fiercely protective, not just of me, but of all her friends. And just a tremendous role model for me to watch. So, kind of walking with Shanta through her grief, it got me thinking about something I heard a patient say to me one day, a woman patient. We were sitting at the bedside and I was rounding and I was, you know, talking to her, and she was telling me that she did not really deal with women.
Oh.
She said, women are messy, women are petty, you know, I have brothers, and honestly, I'm glad I don't have no sisters. I just don't really fool with women that much. I'm a person that I prefer male friends. And as I was listening to her, I was thinking how incredibly sad that was, that somebody will feel that way, right? And then immediately what popped into my head was Shanta. And I looked at her and I said, I want to tell you about one of my sister friends. And I want to tell you what she's been like to me. And I described what Shanta was like when my sister died, what she was like when I have triumphed at something, what she was like when I was scared about something, what she's like when I have a medical question and I'm scared about it, or I'm trying to advocate for a student. I just walked her through all these ways that this woman was so fiercely protective and loyal and loving to me, and what she was missing out on. And she was like, oh, she must have had a whole bunch of sisters, and that just must be how she rolls or something. I said, no, she's an only child. And she's like, well, I don't know women like that, because all the women I know, they petty and they competing with you. And I was like, wow, you got to open yourself up to these kinds of people. I would say that my friendship with Shanta has made me a better friend to a whole bunch of other people. Because to have somebody, one, that you just both made up your mind that we're going to love each other and we're going to be friends. And then to have this person live in a completely different place than you for the lion's share of your friendship, but have too numerous to count ways that the person has been there to support you, is such a blessing. I mean, it's just, I guess I'm just feeling incredibly grateful for that. You know, I'm just grateful. And I even think like our friendship, it takes on a lot of the same like features, right? Like we met, we decided like, okay, we're gonna try to, you know, stay in contact with each other and everything. But then as life lives, you realize that some people, they present themselves in a way to you that makes you trust them and let them be one of your soft places to land. And I think Shanta helped me figure out how to not only receive that, but be that for another person. So, you know, in the spirit of like watching, you know, Flaugier Johnson wipe the tear off of Angel Reese's cheek, and in the spirit of watching a highly decorated Dawn Staley at the height of her game speak another woman's name, and not just that, a woman on the opposing team that people would expect for her to do, you know, the equivalent of an in your face. It was just the embodiment of what sisterhood between women can be, and queens adjusting crowns, and also how it doesn't have to be racially concordant either,
Yes,
right?
absolutely.
Because I will say Shanta Zimmer is not a Black woman. I know if you see her name, you want to be like Shantae, but it's Shanta. But she is just so good. And I'm so like, I'm just so lucky to be her friend. And I just don't, like, I seriously do not understand how. I'm like, come up on you.
But I love that so much. Not only like meets the moments and kind of, you know, where we're drawing these intersections between, you know, this recent incredible women's basketball tournament, but, you know, it fills me with gratitude as well, because I've also been a recipient of that type of friendship and definitely did not do anything to deserve it.
Right. Like, how did I, like, what did I do? Hold on, how did we become friends again? She's like, we decided. I was like, well, why? Mm-hmm. Why? What did I do that made you? Because it's not like the people that are just like fond of you. Shanta is a boss on her own. She don't need to be my friend. She got friends. But yeah, now poor Shanta, she's going to get bombarded with people wanting to be her friend now. Sorry, yeah. Shanta.
Yes, including me. And, you know, and on top of that, you know, the other thing that I am thinking about as you're telling out is just like, you both had families. Like,
yeah.
To me, or at least, you know, kind of the dominant narrative, it just seems like, you know, it's so easy to be insular when you've got these competing responsibilities, and to have someone move out of state and to still be intentional at that point in your careers about maintaining this closeness, and not even like that, but going beyond that to sponsor, like, I just, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, because even if you don't see somebody every day, if you are really lucky and you're a woman, and I'm speaking specifically about friendships between women right now, from my perspective. So, you know, no shade to, you know, my men and my non-binary royalty out there. I just feel like there is something uniquely special about our connection and how lucky we are when we get to experience the kind of friendship with somebody where, you know, it's one of those bail you out of jail at 3 a.m. friends. Yeah. And I'm serious. And yep. I say that with a chuckle, but I have a very short list of people that I can think of that if I called them and I said, it's 3 a.m., you need to come bail me out of jail, and I can't talk to you about it, they will come get me. They're going to be cussing in the car. But when I get back, they're going to give me a hot meal and lay a blanket over me. Uh-huh. If you got some friends like that, mm-hmm. in your phone, then you winning. And if you don't, you might want to figure out how you can be that kind of friend to someone. Because the only way to get a friend like that is to be a friend like that.
Amen. To that end, you know, you forget the work that we have to do as individuals. I'm thinking about your patient, to be ready to receive that type of fierce love and fierce loyalty.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if you noticed, every time that I get weepy talking about Shanta, it's when I think about what could I have done to deserve this? Like, mm-hmm. What did I do to deserve this? And I think that's probably the barrier often, don't mm-hmm. you think? Mm-hmm. Right. Like, you can't receive somebody's, you know, unconditional love and care for you. One, because you're suspicious of it. Mm-hmm. And two, you're suspicious of you.
Yeah.
So if I stiff arm you, then I never have to feel the pain if I lose it, and I never have to be vulnerable.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of when Amanda and I first met. I told that story in the podcast, yeah, how we didn't, yeah, like each other for no reason other than, you know, it was just this immediate kind of, you know, competitive mentality. And God help me if I didn't have that woman with me throughout residency, like in my corner every step of the way. Like, I don't know.
But Amanda's hair is dope. I would have been hating on her.
Thank you. So you feel me though. Like, you know, you can't.
Amanda's hair is the truth. I would have been like,
Right. You can't walk in with waist length natural hair and then.
Exactly.
You know.
I would just like trip and. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I drop lye on the bed?
Oops. Was that a perm? I didn't realize I was holding that.
Oh, I didn't even realize that was there.
Yeah. No, it's
just
real.
Kidding, Amanda. You're not choosing violence.
Nah, she knows. She knows the deal.
Yep. So I'm sorry y'all had to go on that, like, over the river and through the woods with me. I mean, like, you know, the take home point, man, is just like, women need women, mm-hmm. and everybody needs a fierce lioness in her corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ready to get on the hind legs and go hard.
Yes.
And ready to do whatever it takes to make sure you eat.
Yeah. You got me ready to take on my phone right now and just send just in general, I love you text
I
to
love
my
you.
real ones.
No, you should just we should just text all our real ones at 3 a.m. and be like, we in jail and see what they do. No, we are not going to do that.
Yeah, no, I think we don't have to
All
test
right.
folks.
Well, thank you for listening as always. Thank you for being such a good sister friend to me. And thank you to whoever was your friend and helped you to be ready to reciprocate friendship when it came to you.
For real. I mean, likewise, likewise, likewise. Thank you to Shanta, because I feel like I am a beneficiary of the friendship that you have cultivated both with her and how you put that out into the world. And God, as you're also saying all these things, I'm just like, how lucky am I to be friends with Kimberly Manning? Like, do you know how many people want to be friends with you? Like,
Until they become friends with me, then they're like, never mind. Take that back. She's extra.
Nah, it is a reason to wake up every morning and smile. I'm so grateful.
Yep. Be stoppable and stop when you see the sister walking down the street. Yeah.
Amen.
All right, my friend. Always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to seeing you very soon in U at UCSF, where I will be a visiting professor soon.
Yes,
And
yes.
then at where?
At SGIM in Boston, Massachusetts.
Where
Come find us.
did you
I know, right? See, I've been watching the tournament. I'm ready to
Yay.
alley-oop now.
All right, that was a good alley-oop. All right, y'all. So yeah, mark us down. We're gonna be there. And next week when we have our stuff together, we'll tell you exactly the date and time.
It's like, don't ask me all that, but yes, in May.
Yeah, it's in May. See y'all soon. Holla.
That wraps up this week's episode of the Human Doctor Podcast.
Special thanks to our favorite brother gastroenterologist, Dr. Chuma Obiname, for the beats. Shout out to the Dr. Ashley McMullen for editing and production.
Mad love to our podcast family at The Nocturnist and the Clinical Problem Solvers, our Med Twitter fam.
And especially, shout out to all of you, our listeners.
Until next week, remember,
we see you and you are enough. Holla! Holla.